Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. It is a wonderful holiday Thanksgiving week. Yesterday, we surprised my lovely bride and sent her away. We were laughing when we said that. Sent her away down the beach to just a beautiful condo, a place where it's really the kids' way of saying, Mama, we love you and thank you. And Cassie had come to me and said, Dad, I want to spend my money on a condo. And I said, yeah, that's not going to happen. So she told me what she wanted. She checked with her mom. And Paige wanted to be able to have a high enough view to really see the panoramicness of the beach that she fell in love with 20 years ago. And she wanted a whirlpool tub and relaxing surround sound music. I mean, you got a romance writer, so she's got this down. And we found Serenity for her. I mean, it is just a beautiful two-bedroom condo that she is going to relax at all week long. We got her over there yesterday. She enjoyed all day. We had lunch and then left her there. And Tessa went over last night, and one of them is going over tonight. But Mama's there all week long. We're going to do Thanksgiving there. But outside of that, it is just beautiful. You can see pictures on Facebook we put up. But it's our way of saying thank you for 25 years of wonderful marriage. Thank you because her birthday's this week, so this is birthday. And thank you for just being that thankfulness. That's what this week is about, is thanking people, thanking God, just thanking everybody for what we have. And as I watched some good friends of mine fly home from Israel this weekend, I thought about how blessed this country is. One of the people that I just adore, her husband and I are good friends, she said, you know, living on the Emerald Coast, when you hear military jets fly over, you don't worry about what's going to land in your backyard. But that wasn't happening in Israel. The most terrifying moment is when you get on the commercial jet to fly out of the Tel Aviv airport, knowing that there's missiles flying around. It's strange. And then she said, we are so blessed to be home. And I think that's the key. What do you have to be thankful for? I know I'm thankful. I've got the founders of Ocean Avenue flying into Atlanta to be with me and some of my team members this week. I'll leave tomorrow. This will be the only show we'll do this week because I'm going to be on the road. Can't fly, but I can sure drive. So driving up to Atlanta to get some last-minute business in for this month. And then be back home next week when we'll finish up Ken Dunn's book. And then we're going to move into some other books, some stuff I think as we go into the end of the year that we're going to start doing like we do every year. We're going to focus on where we're going in 2013. You're not going to want to miss these shows, the rest of them. What do we got, 6 weeks left? You are going to love it. We're in Chapter 10 of Ken's book, The Leaders Make the Money. Ken Dunn says this, the greatest leader of all is the one who learns to lead self first. The most important minute in your network marketing career is the name of this book. It's phenomenal. My whole team gets it. This is part of the book that they receive, part of their distributor kit. And it's interesting to read through this because Ken makes a point. The greatest leader of all is the one who learns to lead self first. Now, the name of the chapter is Leaders Make the Money. Do you realize that is a very controversial statement because leaders don't make the money? And I know why Ken does things, so I love it, but think about this for a minute. If it was true that leaders make the money, then we wouldn't see leaders or we wouldn't see people making money that aren't leading. Whoa. It's very interesting when you get down to it. It doesn't matter what industry that you're in, even though this one's focused on network marketing. Let's go through this book because this chapter's got some interesting stuff in it. He says, in order to make full-time income in your network marketing business, you have to develop a specific leadership skills. It was once said that the hardest organization to ever lead is the one that's not looking to be led. That's a true statement. See, every single person that joins your network marketing business is a volunteer and not looking for a boss. But now here is the interesting thing about this. bosses don't lead, they manage. So we can't confuse leadership and making money and managing and trying to facilitate a volunteer crew all in the same breath. See, one of the common reasons that millions of people are flocking to network marketing, to direct selling as a whole, is that they're really trying to get rid of all the crap, all the bosses, all the politics, all the garbage, so they don't want to find it here. So the question you've got to ask yourself is, how do we lead people that don't want to be led? That's the question Ken asked. I don't think that's the right question. Not at all. I think everybody is looking for a leader. I think I can show that through the dawn of time. But I think a better question would be, how do you lead people who don't want to be managed? See, that's the key. See, you've got to be able to help them understand the difference between leadership and management, and you have to understand the difference between leadership and management. And if we don't, we will not build a business. I shot some emails out over the weekend to my team, and one of my team members, great person, writes back, "Well, you've got to show me how I can sell an overpriced protein." Wrong freaking attitude straight across the board. I've never done that in my life. I'm sitting there thinking, how do I do this? How do I tell somebody I don't make sales like you do? Because I don't sell on price. I don't even buy on price most of the time. The clothes that I wear are because I like them, not because they were cheap. And it's not to say, hey, look at me. What I'm saying is I buy based on the value, based on what I see, whether it's my boots, my jeans, my shirts. It would not be uncharacteristic. Let me put it this way. It's not uncharacteristic for me to spend $100 on a shirt and $20 on a pair of jeans. Because I don't see the purpose of spending $100 on a pair of jeans, but I like a good shirt, if that makes sense. And that's the way that is. Because if you try to sell something on price, you're not ever going to do it. Now, the odds are, and all of us are this way, so listen to me here. The odds are, this is one of those things where people that buy on price or buy on budget don't understand, why would I spend this when I walk into Walmart and something costs me this much? Now, it's not an excuse. He's not making an excuse or an objection. He's saying, I need help, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, how the heck do I do this? Because what I can't do goes back to the chapter here. What I can't do is manage him and say, well, you're going to do it this way. What I have to do is help lead him to the answer that he needs, not that I want. See, the old Troy would have said, you don't freaking sell on price, first of all. So instead of sending back an email, what I did was I said, that's a phenomenal question. I'll shoot a video in our training archive on this. And that way you and others can benefit from this question. Because that really is the question that's being asked. That's what's needed. And that's what we have to get. So it's going to be awesome to get it done. See, that's what you have to be able to do, is lead. Now, in the real world, somebody would have said, no, don't worry about that, just do this. Doesn't work that way. But yet most of us, in our very first beginnings in network marketing, we're not even focused correctly. We're not, you know, the odds are he's not even started reading this book, or he would understand that making the sales isn't even the issue. It's helping people change their lives and using the products to do that. See, before you can sell something to somebody else, you have had to have an experience yourself with it. That's just the way it is. I used to be an authoritarian leader. I ran a bail bond company. Power went to my head. I had people that worked for me, and I had thousands of people out on bail. And if I cut your bail, then you worked for me, period. I'm not the only one that did this. I saw attorneys that did this. I had attorneys who their clients actually continued to work. I had one guy that was a shoplifter, so he paid off his attorney in brand new $1,000 suits. I had another one who, his client was a professional torch. He would torch buildings and people would collect the insurance, or he'd torch a car and they'd collect the insurance. So he also worked for the attorney and some of his other clients. It's the craziest thing that I've ever seen in my life is how the judicial system sometimes works under the table. And it has since the dawn of time. It's not just in America, but it sucks. And I knew that when I was going out, because we lost that business just due to my ego. But when I sat here and built network marketing, I thought, I don't want to be this way. What I want to do is build a business where other people are number one, where other people are growing personally. That's why when I look at this, I thought to myself, the question to ask isn't how do you lead people who don't want to be led, but how do you lead people that don't want to be managed? And the answer to that is you help them become better followers and develop into leaders. See, if you can teach people to start following because they want to, not because they have to, they start moving up the five rungs of leadership. We're going to be studying this in our next series. See, the changing point for me was that I started reading some books. I read John Maxwell's book, How to Develop the Leader Within You. Graduated from that to How to Develop the Leaders Around You. Went from there to the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership to Failing Forward. Those were the books that changed my life. I started learning and realizing the difference, what it truly did mean to be a leader, and the fact that if you can't follow first, then you can't lead. So I started following and listening to what others had to say to me. I started studying everything that I could study. I realized that I had some limiting beliefs. One of my limiting beliefs that I had, and this sucks, but this is what it was. One of my limiting beliefs was that, because I had a friend once that when I called him and said I'm joining the Marine Corps, said to me, well, my mom said if you don't have a college education, you ain't crap. That in my mind, I kept thinking, well, I must not be worthy because I don't have a college education. And then as I started studying other people, I realized, man, there's a boatload of successful people that don't have a college education. And I realized, That's a limiting belief that I had. I had to get rid of it. Once I got rid of it, the sky was the limit. Things started to change. Things started to morph. Things started to really kick it up. I was excited. But see, everything starts inside of you. Most of us have gone through life not trying to be a leader, not trying to lead ourselves first. We just want to get by until the bell rings. You know, we all loved Fred Flintstones. And the series, him and Barney, but they always were waiting for one thing at the end of the day, and that was the closing bell. Let's go home. Work's over. Kind of reminds me of Hostess Bakeries. You know, Interstate Bakeries for years had been trying to keep the Hostess brand alive. My dad drove for him as a Teamster. And yet last Friday they said, you know what, just kiss our backside. We're shutting the door. Not because the Teamsters didn't cut a deal with them, but because all their little bitty podunk bakeries had this entitlement. We don't want to be managed. We want what we want. So we're not going to cut a deal. We're not going to give concessions. And the bakery said, okay. And 18,000 people got laid off right before the holidays as the company went into bankruptcy and started selling its assets left and right. I've seen pictures of mafia soldiers carrying Hostess Twinkies out of the church to the grave. That's humorous. But people don't want to be managed. And sadly, we've got this mindset that says we don't want to be managed. We'll do it our way. It was good enough for Frank Sinatra to be good enough for us. I'll do it my way. It doesn't work that way, folks. You got to be a good apprentice. When you become a good apprentice, then you become a good mentor. You can't be an authoritarian leader. You're leading volunteers. Some of the greatest books you can buy are from pastors and executive pastors, founding pastors and executive pastors of what we call mega churches, those that have 1,000 or more people going to them. And the reason that that is such a any of those books are such great leadership books is because those guys really are leading volunteer organizations. Not only do you grow a church where people voluntarily show up on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever it is to see how things are going, but they continue to volunteer their time and be part of the people that sing the music and people that teach the Sunday school class and people that direct the traffic and people that are in the Starbucks, if you have a Starbucks, whatever the case is. That's a true volunteer organization. That's the same thing that we're trying to build right here in network marketing. Okay, now you got to think this through with me for a second. You're leading. People are coming to you saying, I want change. I'm looking for change. How do I get change? And you explain to them, you got to listen. I'm not going to manage you, but you got to listen to what I'm saying and you got to apply it. There's some simple steps that you got to abide by. And if you abide by these steps, then you can make it. But you're going to have to change. And change is hard, and none of us like to change, but it's the only way that we're going to be able to grow is we got to change. See, every leader is a follower first. Ken writes this. He says, the biggest lesson I've learned in leadership is that every great leader in the world attributes their success to coaching from a mentor. Absolutely they do. When I was young and naive, he says, I thought if everyone was going to succeed, it was going to be completely on their own. What I've come to understand is that no great leader ever does it on his own. You can learn a great deal of the leadership lessons that Ken has learned by reading Being the Change. I challenge you, if you think that there's anything such, and this is a myth. It's called self-made. You hear it all the time. He's a self-made millionaire. No, he's not. He's a self-made athlete. He didn't have all the money to go to this school or that school. No, he's not. See, everybody that has ever accomplished anything great, from the Nobel Prize winners to an astronaut, to the President of the United States, to the greatest dictators who have ever lived, they didn't do it on their own. They had a team of followers and leaders around them that made them greater than they really were. See, that's the key. That's what it takes to build a successful business, but in today's light of what we're training on here, a successful network marketing business. I don't try to dictate what my people do or how they do it. I tell them what I did. Here's how I came into this business. I bought my Pearl Pack so I'd have products that I could use and products that I could give out. I'm got my auto ship. My backup orders are all set up. I'm putting together a team site, and I'm focused on getting ready to launch a local team, and I'm going to build for the first time in 13 years a local team. That's what I talk about. Now, Ken writes something here. He says, the first step to becoming a leader is to start making money. Now, that's a controversial statement. The first step to becoming a leader is to start making money. And if I just left it right there, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, man. This isn't, there's something wrong here. But here was the second statement. This is where it gets good. The first step to making money is to take action. Leadership is not the things you say, but rather the things you do. So you have to lead, and you have to lead well. It's the only way you can do it. So you have to take action. Does making money in network marketing mean you're a leader? No. I know plenty of people that make money and they are not good leaders, period. Their team's always, they got high attrition. They're always jumping from company to company. They look like they're making real good money when really they're not. The first step to becoming a leader is to take action. When you change yourself and you're in network marketing, you'll go from part-time to steady part-time to full-time to steady full-time. Some people will never get out of the part-time side of this business because they just don't want to. They become a better leader and they start leading their organization and their careers instead of their chosen profession. And it becomes fun again, and they want to stay there, and they want to grow, and they want to do things. That's the exciting part. Leaders in network marketing don't just talk it, they walk it. If you guys watch my videos, you know that a lot of times I'm in T-shirts. Pretty cool, radical T-shirts. But T-shirts. But when I go out to a meeting, I don't wear a T-shirt. I wear a pretty radical shirt, but they're all Oxford button-up shirts, or they're branded shirts. I'll be at the 1818 Club on Tuesday, where the attire is business casual. Now, I will be in some denim jeans because of my broken foot. I can't put slacks on with my cast. But I'll be in jeans and a very, very expensive and nice shirt so that I don't embarrass the people that I'm with. See, when you walk your walk, you look at the people around you, and you don't do things based on what they think of you. You do things based on, hey, how can I help them feel better about themselves? How can I lead them? See, in the real world, when we're asking the question, how do you lead people that don't want to be managed, the people are coming out of corporate America, and they have been freaking managed and told what to do. I mean, think about it. How good about yourself can you feel when every day you get up and put on a blue-collar shirt that has your name on it, like you don't know what your freaking name is, and nor the other 25,000 people that have been working for you with you for 20 years? It needs to be rocking, branded, cool stuff. That's why there's white-collar. That's why all of a sudden you look at the tech world and you see how they turn things upside down because they said, we're going to break the status quo. You're going to get a cubby. You're going to get a little cubicle, but, man, decorate it the way you want to decorate it. Have fun. Now, I believe in systems. Don't get me wrong here, but I believe that you got to be an individual inside the system. That's why Apple did. We just did this in learning about start with why. So ask yourself, who are you more likely to lead? A physical fit marketing professional or an unhealthy, overweight, cigarette-smoking, beer-drinking, stained T-shirt dude telling you, ask me how. Think about it. You going to follow an unshaven dude dropping F-bombs all over the place or a clean-cut guy that's cautious with his language? See, leadership is always about the example that you set. Why would one of people follow you if you're not a good leader? We're not talking about managing. We're talking about leading. You got to lead from the heart. So you can do all the things. Listen to this. I'm going to share some stuff with you. This comes out of the Fred Factor by Mark Sanborn. I got to meet him at Catalyst. He said, here's an interesting dilemma. You can do all the right things, but if they're done for the wrong reasons or with the wrong attitude, your efforts will be short-circuited. Can't fake it till you make it. He goes, what won't work? Acting like Fred because you feel you have to. What will work is acting like Fred because you want to. And what you learn is Fred was a postman that just loved his people and everybody loved him as the postman. He never went postal. Another one of the things from the book is attitude colors everything I do in life. Your attitude tells you whether you got out of the bed on the right side or the wrong side. See, a positive attitude allows you to see the things you undertake as an opportunity, not as obligation. A positive attitude looks for the best, not the worst in the circumstances. It doesn't deny the worst, it just looks for the best. A positive attitude is I can do, not that I must do. I can get this done. A positive attitude is hopeful, not pessimistic. See, the way on your way from following, from being an apprentice to a mentor, if you don't become a better leader, if you don't develop that front row attitude to become the best that you can be, if you're not digging deep into changing your internal belief system, then it won't happen. Jim Gilhouse, one of my dearest friends, says, network marketing is nothing more and nothing less than personal development with a compensation plan. And year after year, the more I hear him say that, the more I agree with him on that. See, the one thing that's consistent about network marketing is that the leaders, the men and women making full-time income, don't wait for others to tell them what to do. They just go out and do it. And they do it, and they do it, and they do it till the job gets done. And they do it, and they do it, and they do it until the job gets done. That's what they do. They don't wait. They just do it, and do it, and do it, and do it. And that's what you've got to do. Folks, no more shows this week. I want you guys to enjoy life. Enjoy this Thanksgiving week. We'll be back here next Monday on the Home Business Radio Network, the voice in positive powered radio. This is Troy Dooley, the host of the Beachside CEO. Bye now.